Hello and welcome to an extremely special broadcast today with the French Open just around the corner. We thought it would be a good idea to do Breakpoint's first ever joint broadcast. Val Febbo here with you, and the joint broadcast is with the wonderful people at the Tennis Menu, of course. And I've been doing the US Open show for the Tennis Menu, and we wanted to get everything involved with each other. And yeah, we thought it would be a great idea to do a French Open broadcast as well. And introducing, well, my right-hand man on Breakpoint, Joel Ferrucci. Joel, how are you?
Yeah, going well. Thanks, Val. Really happy to be involved because I know you've been involved with the US Open shows on the Tennis Menu. And yeah, I'm really glad to have the call up. I'm feeling good today.
Yeah, no, well, yeah, you better be ready because this is where the big boys roll, because the next man that I'm going to introduce is, well, for those of you who watch the US Open show on the Tennis Menu, hashtag Mark for PM, the best high performance coach in the business. He is back. He's ready to go. Mark Sefulis, how are you?
I'm really well, Val, and thanks for the lovely intro you keep giving me every single time we get on this show. I couldn't leave the room from the US Open because my head was too big to fit through the
left
door.
Yet.
No, I haven't left. Still stayed here. The missus just keeps throwing some food at me through the door. So, no, but it's exciting to be back. And obviously within a short succession between the two Grand Slams, which is very, very unusual to have a US Open and a French Open so close together. So really looking forward to dissecting it with you boys and see what we can come up with for this, obviously the last Grand Slam of the year.
Yeah, it is exciting. And the draw obviously coming out last night, and we started with the women's draw for the US Open. Let's start with the men for Roland Garros, and we might as well just get straight into it for the final Grand Slam of the year. It's something that is quite weird in a sense because we're used to seeing Roland Garros in May, not the end of September / start of October, which is usually when we're around the Asian swing or getting towards the European indoor swing of the season. So it's very interesting to see the conditions, the weather, and what's going to be happening around Roland Garros this year and how the clay courts will play. But we'll start with the top quarter of the men's draw, and this is pretty stacked. But again, it seems as though Djokovic does get somewhat of an easy draw. Djokovic here, he'll take it on Mikael Emer of Sweden in the opening round. Cam Norrie in there is a dangerous floater. Hubert Hurkacz and Tennis Sandgren, the 29th seed Hurkacz there. That'll be an interesting matchup. Sandgren having a really good Australian Open at the start of the year. Hasn't done too much since, but Christian Garin against Philip Kohlschreiber, the 20th seed Chilean there. That'd be an interesting one first up. Kohlschreiber always good for a round or two. Hugo Humbert there, a dangerous floater. He's had a wonderful clay court swing since the US Open. Kaden Khachanov there against Kamil Marchak. I think I've got that right.
Special K, Val.
Yep, exactly right for the Breakpoint listeners. I think that's what we've resorted to calling him, the Special K. Whatever happened to regular K, Joel?
Oh, Family Guy references. Love it. Already, it didn't take long.
Yeah, I know. It took, what, half a minute? But yeah, Karen Khachanov there for a Djokovic fourth round. That'd be really interesting if that prevails with the conditions. I'm not sure how it'll go. Roberto Bautista Agut against Richard Gasquet, the ever-present Frenchman, always there. He had such a good lockdown period, I guess, at the UTS, was playing really well and then struggled at the US, had a little bit of an injury. And also in that draw, John Millman and Pablo Carreño Busta, the US Open semi-finalists. That'll be a ripping match as well. Millman is surprisingly quite a good clay courter. Made his first ATP final there in Bucharest a few years ago. Jan-Lennard Struff against Francis Tiafoe, also in the first round. A couple of good young guns, Lloyd Harris and Alexei Popperin, at the bottom end of the quarter in a first round. And finally, to round it out, Matteo Berrettini against Vasek Pospisil. Again, another really tasty first-round matchup. So the dangerous floaters are aplenty. Feliciano Lopez also there, one of the best names in tennis. But Mark, we'll start with you. It's tough to predict, isn't it? Like, apart from the guy at the top there, Novak, if you block it out, it's quite difficult to predict.
It is extremely difficult to predict. And I was looking at this all morning thinking, okay, who am I going to earmark to make, you know, all the way through this quarter of the draw, even through the whole draw. It's incredible. And the conditions are going to be really interesting and who it favours in these situations, because that's the only thing I see separating a lot of these matches, the conditions. And the other one is how many of these players are really primed physically to play the endurance game at the French Open, especially this time of year. So we're looking at a really cooler time of year, more wet, the courts will be heavier, the points will be longer, the matches will be longer. Who has done the work over the COVID breakdown to be able to last these long matches? I don't know. you know, I'm going to throw a blanket. I'm doing it like I do with the women's draw. I throw a blanket over it and see who pops out underneath after that. And there's a lot of players that I think can get through this part of the draw especially, but the whole draw, you know, in general, really.
Yeah, I think so. And it looks, it's a really interesting look at this draw. And I think, Joel, we saw it a lot at the US, the players getting really cramped up and tight in those fifth sets. And physicality-wise, it's a little bit difficult for players to actually maintain themselves or maintain fitness throughout a Grand Slam. But looking at these guys, there's a lot of fitness freaks in here. And Roberto Bautista Agut, Novak Djokovic, how are they going to be primed for a tournament like this when, you know, when obviously we saw at the US Open, a lot of players struggle.
Oh, hang on. Sorry, Val. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell. Sorry.
I think, no, I heard it when, could you hear that when Mark was coming through as well, Joel? It sounded a little bit.
Oh yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I was more asking because I just, right as you asked me that question, someone called me and it came up on my laptop. And I was like, I was wondering if you could hear it.
Oh, I just heard a massive vibration sound. Mark, can you speak?
Yeah. Hello. Yeah.
Does that sound distorted, Joel?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to turn the volume of your mic down a bit, Mark?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, yeah, that's...
Can you hear me now?
Oh, that's really bad.
Really bad?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now? Testing 1, 2, yeah. Hello.
Ooh, yeah, it sounds really, really tinny and robotic.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fucking weird.
Oh, that sound, hang on, go again.
Hello, testing.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yep, perfect.
Can you hear me now? Is that better?
That's Whoa. Perfect, yep.
It's weird.
That's bang on.
Really weird.
That's absolutely bang on. All right, yeah, that's better. Okay, should we... Okay, so from Mark's answer, I'll start again, Nick, and we can just edit this little bit out because, yeah, we just had a few technical issues, teething problems. all right. So, Mark, you were talking about... What were you talking about again? Throwing a blanket over?
Yeah, throwing the blanket over and, yeah.
Okay. So, I'll start it from Mark's answer, Nick, and we'll go from there. 3, 2, 1... Yeah, you're exactly right, Mark. And throwing a blanket over so many of these guys is probably one of the best things you can do when analysing this draw, especially on clay, because it presents such different problems for a lot of players and such different sort of game styles and everything along those lines. But if you're looking at the way that the US Open was played, a lot of players struggled when going to the fifth sets because of just the lack of match practice. And, you know, you can be a fitness freak, but when you're doing it while hitting a ball, it's a lot harder and there's a lot more gut running involved when you're actually playing. But Joel, if you're looking at this, do you look at a guy like Roberto Bautista Agut, Novak Djokovic, maybe a Francis Tiafoe, a John Millman or a Pablo Carreño Busta, one of your favorites, Adrian Mannarino. he'll be there later in the draw. But what do you look at in this top quarter as the sort of the benchmark and the main factors as to why players will get through?
Yeah, well, I think clearly in terms of players, Novak is the one that stands out. But yeah, there are a lot of, I guess, grinder type players in this quarter, which I think makes it really fascinating. And I think what we're probably going to see in terms of differences between the US Open and the French Open, obviously, well, the surface is the big one, but certainly when it comes to the conditions, as we've already sort of spoken about, it was quite humid as well over in the US Open. But over, obviously, as we know, in France at this time of year, it's a bit different to their spring. And I'm actually just looking at a weather forecast now for Paris, and it makes for interesting reading. And it has Friday 14 degrees, Saturday 15 yep. degrees, Sunday 14, Monday 18, Tuesday 19, Wednesday 20, Thursday 21. So certainly not particularly warm conditions. So you'd have to think that it does suit some of those grinders, but I think when it comes to this this top quarter of the men's draw, you know, Novak is really the one that stands out. I do like Matteo Berrettini as well, though. He's been playing some pretty good tennis on the clay. Obviously lost to Casper Ruud in Rome, but when we talk of good clay quarters, I think Casper, the unfriendly ghost, he's another one that stands out. He could do some damage, please.
Oh, I love that, the unfriendly ghost. That's fantastic. But Mark, who are you looking at the most? Like, apart from Djokovic, who are the other players that really stand out in this quarter of the draw for you?
You'd have to say Bautista Agut and probably, as Joel mentioned, Berrettini are the two that are probably playing some really good tennis. Bautista Agut can do anything on this surface. He's got to get through Richard Gasquet in the first round, which, you know, that's a real challenge in itself. But I think once he gets through that, it shouldn't be too bad. He'll play maybe, I think it's Carino Busta somewhere along the line there before he gets to that quarterfinal or so. But I think he's a really damaging player on a clay court. And I think he can get right the way through. But obviously, you know, I don't think we can go past Novak Djokovic. I mean, he's won 31 of 32 matches this year. And the only match he's lost is by being defaulted. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't think it's you can go past a guy like that. Unfortunately, what he did at the US Open was pretty tough to watch from a tennis spectator's perspective. But, you know, he's obviously the form player, the best player in the draw. And, you know, if he's fit and firing, I can't see many people stopping him.
Yeah, I do agree, and I think it's going to be hard for whoever does come up against him. And he did win in Rome, but he wasn't at his best. So fingers crossed, we can see him be challenged throughout this tournament. But we'll move on to the second quarter of the draw. This one is absolutely stacked again with some massive seeds, but also some really big dangerous floaters. Daniil Medvedev kicks it off against Martin Fucsovics, who played the fourth round of the Australian Open and played so well at the US as well earlier on this month. And then you've got Stefanos Tsitsipas at the bottom, the number five seed. Moving further to the top, Nicolas Basilashvili is there. Adrian Manarino, Quintin Alice, some of the Frenchmen that we know can play well at their home slam. Dusan Lajovic also there. Kevin Anderson, a dangerous floater. He'll take on Laszlo Djere and could take on Lajovic in the second round. And what excites me a lot, this name, Alejandro Davidovich Fokina, that just rolls right off the tongue. I love it. But he'll take on Harold Mayo, the French wild card. But Andre Rublev against Sam Querrey, not an easy opponent. Querrey, although he is a big server and has a power game and has most of his success on grass, which is essentially a bit of the opposite to what clay is, but he has won titles on the red dirt before in Europe. I think he won the title in Belgrade back earlier on in the decade, and he's got the pedigree to play on clay. Denis Shapovalov against Gilles Simon, another tasty first round matchup. It's that one is going to be exciting. Simon, 35 years old, probably past it now, but he's always tough to beat at his home slam. Steve Johnson, another dangerous floater there. Grigor Dimitrov will take on Grégoire Barrère of France in the opener. Filip Krajinovic, also in this section of the draw, will take on a qualifier first up, and then Stefanos Tsitsipas against Jaume Munar. So this part of the draw, again, really tough to predict. And I look at the fourth round matchup between Shapovalov and Tsitsipas, and my mouth does salivate. And again, Rublev and Medvedev could meet as they did at the US Open, but this time in the fourth round. So, Mark, we'll start with you this time. What jumps out at you here?
Yeah, I think it's stacked. And, you know, you look at Grigor Dimitrov in that bottom part of the draw with Shapovalov and obviously Tsitsipas down the bottom. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting little part of the draw there. You know, who gets through? I mean, Dimitrov hasn't been at his best, obviously, overcoming COVID. But, you know, can he play well? He's built his game in France. He's been developed there since he was a kid. He could really enjoy the conditions that are put in front of him. I think he'll be okay. You know, Daniil Medvedev, can he play the same way on clay as he does on a hard court? It's going to remain to be seen. Obviously, sitting so far back in the court and not being able to really penetrate maybe off the backhand side may hurt him if it's a bit slow. The balls may land a little bit short. So he's maybe going to have to change up his tactic a little bit at times on the clay and be able to push back up onto the baseline. But yeah, again, it's a really challenging part of the draw. Look, I really like Tsitsipas at the moment. I think he's going okay at Hamburg. I think he's really starting to find his form. Again, another player who's developed in France at the Mouratoglou Academy, has a real feel for what the French conditions are like and actually really enjoys it. So, you know, he's one that I reckon we got to look at. And Shapovalov's in career best form. So, you know who really gets through that? Oh, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not the expert in picking, let me tell you that much, after my US Open shenanigans. So I think I'll look at Shapovalov and Tsitsipas probably in that fourth round, as you were saying. And, you know, I think we can look at Medvedev maybe getting through that top part and facing one of them.
It's exciting. And Joel, I think we spoke before we went on air, and you said that Medvedev might not get through here.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about Daniil on clay. Firstly, if I'm looking at the draw, obviously he'll back himself, but I'm probably not that pleased to see my name next to Martin Fuchsovics in the first round. I think he's a very, very dangerous player. I've watched a bit of him in the last couple of years, and I really like what he brings. So I think that's the first challenge for Daniil. But I want to ask you, Mark, Daniil, I think the stat is that he's lost five in a row on clay. And in Hamburg, he lost in the first round against Ugo Ombur. If you're his coach, now I know certain people make more of historical facts than some others, but if you're in Daniil's camp, how do you make sure that that's not something that sort of crosses his mind?
Yeah, it's a really great question because it does play on your mind. And I know, I think it was a player I used to coach, Arina Rodionova, was playing her 10th French Open and had never gotten through a round or never won a match. And it does play on your mind a lot. And there's no doubt it'll play on Medvedev's mind. And the coach obviously needs to be very present with what he's doing. So, you know, if you're a coach looking at what you've done in the past, you're a coach that's not thinking about what you can do in the future. And you've got to be extremely present with your coaching methodology and the way that you go about this plan. So, I mean, at this stage, I mean, as you said, I wouldn't be looking past Fuchsovics, however the hell you bloody say his name. But he's an incredible competitor, a big ball striker, someone that can really hurt you. And if you're going to sit back 10 meters off the baseline, the same way he was doing at the US Open, there's going to be a bit of a problem. You know, he's not going to be able to utilize the ball speed coming at him. And I think he's going to need to hold his court a little bit better. There's got to be something in place from the coach that actually gives him a plan of attack. You know, if you're thinking, let me go a little bit deeper. Your thought processes when you walk on a court is that your subconscious mind is all your previous history. In his subconscious mind, he's going to be going, crap, I haven't been playing well on clay. I'm struggling. You have to change him from subconscious to conscious pretty quickly. So the coach needs to be very present in his game plan and ensure that everything is based on a point-by-point scenario and not on, okay, if we get through to the third round and we play so-and-so, no, it's about this match here. And if he gets that first match under his belt, the confidence should change or may change and may help him propel forward. But if he's in that moment and he's thinking about what he hasn't done in the last couple of matches on clay, I think he's going to really struggle. You're 100% correct, Joel.
That is a brilliant answer, Mark. And look, Medvedev does boast a win over Djokovic on clay, beating him in Monte Carlo last year. So it's not like he can't play on the surface. If he can rekindle some of that form, we may see him go very deep. But the second quarter, massively packed. Third quarter, however, well, this one's on steroids because Gael Monfils kicks it off against Alexander Bublik, the 8th seed. Monfils didn't play the US Open, struggled a little bit in Rome, but I think with the form he established at the start of the year, he's going to be very dangerous. He's made the French Open semi-finals before, and he's going to be very, very difficult to beat. Jordan Thompson, the Australian, also part of this draw. He'll take on Aradu Albos in the opening round. Taylor Fritz, the American 27th seed, against the qualifier. Borna Coric, the US Open quarterfinalist, against Norbert Gombos. It's a very interesting name, Norbert, for a Slovakian.
Sounds like a movie. I don't know. Movie where character.
Yeah, what is it? From
Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. I don't think he got very good reviews. Hopefully, Gombos a little bit better. But Jeremy Chardy, Frenchman, you know, he's always thereabouts, very consistent player. Corentin Moutet, the young gun of France there. So a lot of Frenchmen in this draw here as well. Well, you'd think so, but a lot of them are just direct acceptances, which is great to see. Diego Schwartzman, the Rome finalist, against the titleist in Istanbul, Miomir Kecmanovic as well. Sorry, no, Kitzbühel. So second week of the US Open, this tournament was going on. Kecmanovic got past Nishikori after getting belted in the first set. Ended up going on to win his first ATP Tour title, and then he'll take on Schwartzman in the opening round. This next match, however, Andy Murray against Stan Wawrinka. The last time they played at Roland Garros.
How good is that?
1-7 in the fifth in the 2017 semis. It was the end of Andy's hip and the end of Stan's knee. So hopefully this match doesn't break them like it did last time. They have since met in an ATP final in Antwerp last year, which Murray did win, but this one has just classic written all over it, and hopefully we can get exactly what we want from it. And Dominic Kefer, he had such a great tournament in Rome and then played okay in Hamburg as well, lost in the second round to Casper Ruud, I'm pretty sure it was. Antoine Huang, he'll play in the opening round, but a difficult second round match for Murray or Wawrinka. Nishioka against Felix Auger-Aliassime. That's also exciting. Nishioka just runs all day like an energizer battery, and Auger-Aliassime, a great US Open. Casper Ruud, Joel's mate, he'll take on the 28th seed. Is Ruud, Tommy Paul, and James Duckworth. I reckon Duckworth gets through this one. Plays really well on the clay. Riley Opelka as well, also in this section of the draw and in the second round. He'll either meet, if he gets through his qualifying matchup, he'll meet Cilic or Thiem. Third round at the US Open, two Grand Slam winners, four Grand Slam winners in this little section of the draw here. Thiem and Cilic, geez, that's just, this is one that you at least think should be third round onwards, not in the opening round of a Grand Slam, but whoever, if there is a crowd there, whoever gets tickets to it will be very, very lucky. Joel, we'll start with you. What are you looking at in this quarter?
Yeah, well, I think straight away, there's two matches that stand out, Thiem versus Cilic, and also Stan versus Andy Murray, one for the old timers, and it's a bit of a throwback. And yeah, I'm really excited about it. It's a good quarter. I'm interested to see what Diego Schwartzman can do. As you said, Val finalist in Rome, went on to lose to Novak Djokovic, but of course did beat Rafael Nadal in Rome. So I'm sort of looking at him and hoping that he can really build on that, because he's a player that's been around for a little bit. He's hung around the top 10 for quite a while, never broken into the top 10. So look, I'm hoping that that Diego can make an impression here. I actually really like Corentin Moutier's a bit of a dangerous floater. He's been pretty impressive this year. So he's someone I'm looking at.
Mark, looking at this draw, what does someone like Gael Monfils bring to it? And how difficult is it going to be to beat him, considering he was the one that pushed Novak to the absolute brink earlier on in the year in Dubai in the semifinals, had match points against him to end that unbeaten streak early. Obviously didn't prevail and went, I think, 0-14 against Novak. But looking at his form at the start of the season, what is it about him that makes him so dangerous? And especially on clay, because he does like to slide around a lot.
Yeah, he's an incredible athlete, and you just never know what he's going to bring. And I think that's the challenge with Gael Monfils. If the best Gael Monfils turns up, I think we're going to be in for a real show, and I think he can get right the way through and probably get to a fourth round or a quarterfinal quite comfortably at his best. At his worst, he could probably be going home in the first day and going enjoying a pina colada on the beach and doing something like that. So, you know, who knows with Gael Monfils which one turns up. And, you know, he's definitely someone who is very, very dangerous player to play. As you said, he could play some insane kind of tennis. But I think, Joel, you're correct too. Diego Schwartzman, incredible tennis he's playing at the moment. You know, has he come of age a little bit? He's definitely grown, not in height, but in the way that he plays. So he's definitely matured as a player. And as you said, you know, it's really nice for the French Open to put a Legends match in this draw too, with Wawrinka versus Murray. So good on them for being kind to the old timers and putting the Legends in there and giving them a chance. But depends on who wins and which what works better, the walking frame or the walking stick on the court. Will be interesting to watch. To watch both of them having a crack out there. But it's an incredible stacked part of the draw. Pretty rude that you didn't mention Sagita as getting through. Pardon the pun. But I think Rude's going to get through on that one for sure. And look, at the end of the day, I think Dominic Thiem's playing career best form tennis. He's proven on clay that he's a star. Just whether or not he's been able to come down from the high of winning the US Open is a real challenge. And a lot of people underestimate that. When you win a Grand Slam, the last thing you want to do is get back on the practice court and train and get ready for the next one. 2 weeks later, you're playing a French Open. It's a totally different surface, totally different ball game, different conditions. You know, it's all going to change for him. Is he as well prepared as he was for the US Open? I'm not sure, but at his best, Dominic Thiem gets through to the final in this.
But I reckon that Thiem, I think this would be another golden opportunity for him, because this is a tournament where Rafa might not be favoured because of the conditions. But and against someone like Marin Cilic, Mark, you look at that, is your mouth watering if you're Thiem? Because if they're slower conditions, that nullifies Cilic's game completely. And he's already nullified it at the US Open on fast courts where Cilic has won previously.
Yeah, absolutely. And the players who can both play defensive and offensive in this tournament are going to be the better players. You can't have just a defensive game. You can't be just offensive. You're going to have a blend of both. And Dominic Thiem possesses the skills to be able to do that. He's probably one of the only players in the draw. Him, Djokovic, and Nadal are three players that can defend unbelievably well, but their offensive game can hurt you. And no matter how slow the surface is, they can really hurt you on that. And all three of those players, obviously, physically in prime condition to be able to do anything in this draw. So it is going to be interesting. Cilic will definitely pose a problem for Thiem, especially in that first round, to see how teams come down from the high of the US Open. But at the end of the day, you know, if Dominic Thiem is anywhere near his best, he wins this match quite comfortably, three or four sets, and then walks through probably until about the third or fourth round. So I think it'd be interesting to see that. But I'm really looking forward to the Legends, Wawrinka and Murray, to see where they're both at. It'd be great.
It's going to be very, very exciting. But the final quarter of the draw before we get to our picks, Alexander Zverev, the US Open finalist, kicks it off against Denis Novak. He's the sixth seed. Zverev, Pierre-Hugues Gerbert, he's there as well. Not sure how he'll go on the clay. He's a doubles specialist, so he'll probably feature more in the men's doubles. Alex Demonor, the 25th seed, could take on Zverev in the third round. Both. That'd be interesting to see if Zverev does get through, but he'll have to... and Demonor, both, actually. It'd be an interesting matchup on the clay, considering they've had some big ones on a hard court before, but Demonor will have to get past the qualifier opponent in the opening round, and then a double Argentinian, either Delboni or Juan Ignacio Londero. And Londero made the fourth round 2 years ago, so he's a very, very dangerous matchup on the clay. Benoit Paire, look, somehow the guy's in the draw. He's tested positive twice for COVID. I'm honestly not sure how he's in the draw. Only Benoit would be able to challenge
him
into it. Something in the beard, I'm sure. But he's in. He's the 23rd seed. Can't see him getting past the first round against Son Woo-kwon, just with how he's played and just his sheer demeanour on the court. He just wants 2021 to come around. He's said it about six or seven times now. So not sure how he's actually in the draw, but good on him and good luck to him. We do love Benoit on this show. But David Goffin also here. He'll take on Yannick Sinner in the opening round. That's also exciting. Goffin, the 11th seed US Open fourth round it was. So took Shapovalov to four. Fabio Fognini, the fat shamer, he's still in the draw as well. He'll take on Mikhail Kukushkin. I need to see him play Milos Raonic at some point before they both retire, because I want to see the handshake or the racket bump at the end, if there is one, because Raonic was not impressed with that at all. Fognini taking on Kukushkin, who made the third round at the US Open. Andreas Seppi also in this section of the draw, fourth round formerly at the French Open as well. John Isner, part of it as well. He'll take on Elliot Benchetri of France. Dan Evans against Kei Nishikori, a big first round matchup. And then right at the bottom, Rafael Nadal against Igor Gerasimov of Belarus. And Joel, we'll start with you. There's a lot of peculiar matchups here, and there's a lot of exciting prospects that we could see towards the end of this tournament.
Yeah, it's interesting. And because I'm such an interesting person, I think Rafael Nadal will win the quarter.
You always surprise me, Joel. Always.
Yeah, I'm full of surprises. Look, there's a couple of players that really interest me from this part of the draw. David Goffin and Fabio Fognini are probably the two. I'm not sure whether it's out of realism or hope, but I actually really want to see David Goffin go through to the quarterfinals. And I'm going to back him in. I think he might just do that. But as we know, Fabio Fognini, he can really throw a spanner in the works. And of course, Alex Berev is in this quarter as well. And might ask you, Mark, about Alex Berev. Obviously, we saw him reach the final. At the US Open. And, the issues that Alex has to fix that we saw were quite clear, I think. So take us into the mind of those working closest with Alex Berev. You've made the US Open final. The issues are seemingly quite clear, nerves and probably the second serve.
100% the second serve.
Yeah, 100%. You've got this little period to work on things. Obviously, they're the things you're probably working on. Anything else that you think that Alex has to be knuckling down on to make that breakthrough?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, I think we talked about it on our final show, like, you know, two or three points difference and Zverev wins that match. So, you know, it's an interesting one that he's got some really big holes in his game, but at the same time, he's actually got some really great assets and strengths. And I think, a lot of people are focused in on his negativity and his mindset and obviously his second serve, but for him to be able to almost be, you know, a point or two away from winning that that US Open is incredible. So, look, I think between these two tournaments, there's not much he would have been able to do from a game perspective to get better. It's really hard because within 2 weeks, there's not a lot of time. He would have had 3 or 4 days off. There is absolutely no doubt he would have been absolutely spent come that time. Can he, similar to Dominic Thiem, recover from the massive high and also the massive low that he did have at the US Open? I don't know. No, I can't give you a definitive answer on that. I think it's a really challenging situation for him to be able to overcome, obviously, that real challenging loss. It's going to hurt him for a long time. And I think that, you know, he's in a good place to win a slam. Will he win this tournament? No, he won't. You know, I'm going to pretty much put that out there now. I don't think he'll win this tournament. But, you know, I think down the track he'll be okay. Look, the second serve here isn't going to be as damaging or as bad as it was at the US, because the guys were pretty much putting the pressure on him, stepping in on the court. On the clay courts, it's going to sit up a little bit and they're going to have to really generate some speed from further back in the court. And it's a lot heavier, so he doesn't have to go for so much. Just a little bit of, you know, kick on the serve and push the guys back would be all he needs to do and minimize the defaults. Sorry?
Gets it in.
If he gets it in, exactly. Change that ball toss would be really important. So let's see how that goes. But yeah, it is a very interesting topic with Zverev, because I'm really big on play to your strengths. And I think if he plays to his strengths, he's very hard to beat in any match that he plays. So yeah, it's going to be a tough one. Obviously, Rafael Nadal is going to, I think, steamroll his way through the first few rounds and get right through. But Fabio Fognini, again, you guys have touched on it, you know, twice. I think he's a really interesting character. Could do anything. I spent about a week with Fabio in Italy, the most unbelievable week I've ever spent in my life. So different. If you think the fat shaming of Raonic was bad, you should have seen the way he treated waiters and waitresses in restaurants. Absolutely. Kingpin Fognini. So he's a super funny guy, but very different at the same time.
Oh, my God. Look, the man is the only man to beat Rafa from two sets to love down at the US Open back in 2015. And he's beaten Rafa in Monte Carlo as well. Won a Masters 1000. The guy's been in the top 10. Quarterfinals at the French before. And, of course, that quarterfinal was a walkover against Novak Djokovic. So yeah. The guy is genuinely unbelievable. You don't know what you're going to get with him, but he's like Boris Gump's box of chocolates, really. But look, let's go to the picks, because we better get to the women's draw very, very soon. So the top quarter mark, who gets through to the quarters, then the semis, and then the final?
Look, I can't give you all those because I don't know, but I think Novak Djokovic is going to get right the way through. There's no doubt he's probably the standout on that half of the draw. I'm going to look at Tsitsipas being another one that is going to get through pretty deep. I'm hoping that this is his time to shine a little bit. You know, fingers crossed for him. I think, you know, he's been sort of promising, but not quite getting through it at times. So I'm hoping that he's one of them. With a dark horse, obviously being, I reckon, Shapovalov and Rublev too, that I think can possibly get a little bit deeper in the tournament in that half of the draw. And I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens from there. But, you know, I'm crap with tips. So if you're betting, don't listen to my tips. But, you know, it's going to make for a very interesting draw. And look, bottom half of the draw, if you look at Rafael Nadal, I think he's the player to beat down that side. And I think he'll get the way through. And, you know, you might be right. I think there might be a Monfils and Schwartzman. Either one of those, I think, might get through and play him in a semi, I think. And that would be interesting. But my tip for the tournament, you know, I missed Dominic Thiem in there as well. But
yeah, I was gonna say.
Yeah, Dominic Thiem's one of them that, yeah, obviously could go right the way through. But I think it's out of, you know, players of Djokovic, Nadal, Thiem are the three players that I'm thinking that I don't think anyone can beat on this surface. So they're the three players that I think the winner will come from there.
You got to pick one, though.
Djokovic.
No, oh, he's gone Novak. He's gone Novak.
Oh, yeah, I'll go Novak.
All right, Joel. Your turn. Top half, bottom half, winner.
All right. So, top quarter of the men's draw. My quarterfinal is Novak Djokovic versus Matteo Berrettini. And I think Novak wins that one. Second quarter, I'm going Andrei Rublev against Denis Shapovalov. Actually, I really like what Shapo has produced after the restart. I think he'll make a semi-final, which I'm really excited by. And bottom half, third quarter, Diego Schwartzman versus Dominic Thiem. I think Thiem probably wins that. And bottom quarter, I'm going David Goffin versus Rafael Nadal. And I think overall, it's really difficult to not go with Rafa. I think Rafa is going to win again.
Okay, number 13 for Nadal in favour, or from Joel. My top quarter of the men's draw, I think it's going to be Djokovic and Roberto Bautista Agut, but I think I'd love to see Pablo Carreño Busta take on Djokovic again. I really would. And get Laura Clark officiating as well, because, you know, we just want to see. No, I'll drop it now. It was comedy for me, okay? But no, I think Bautista Agut is going to play the quarters there. I think Djokovic will get through that and make a semi. I think on the second quarter, I think Rublev will probably get through to the quarters over Medvedev. But I think it just depends on what happens in Hamburg for Stefanos Tsitsipas. If he wins it, it's obviously going to be, he's going to be pretty taxed physically going straight to the French. In that case, I think Shapovalov will get through. If Tsitsipas loses it or loses tonight or tomorrow in Hamburg, I think that he'll be able to get through. But I think I'm going to go with Stefanos, considering he had a pretty heartbreaking loss at the French last year. But don't rule out Grigor Dimitrov as well. He's in that. But I think it's going to be Rublev and Tsitsipas in the quarters there. And I think Tsitsipas will probably get through to a semi to face Djokovic. I reckon the quarter, geez, this third quarter of the draw is really difficult. I think it's going to be Gael against Dominic. And I reckon Dominic gets through to a semi. And then I reckon in the final quarter of the draw, I reckon we're going to see someone really different take this one by the scruff of the neck. I reckon Juan Ignacio Londero is going to get through to the quarterfinals here, and he'll take on Rafa Nadal there. I reckon it's Dominic Thiem to lose. I'm going completely different to what you guys have gone, and Thiem wins the tournament and goes 2-from-2 in the tennis restart. I just think the monkey's off the back now. And he's got a real chance. And Rafa could even get pushed by Fabio Fognini. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens. But Mark, before we do get to the women's, I want to ask you about the different balls. So they are using a different ball this year at the French Open. What does that do? And how are balls different in a way? Like I've always wanted to understand sort of the mechanics of them and what makes the different brands so different to play with.
It's a really good question. Obviously, they've gone with the Wilson ball this year as opposed to the Babolat that they have in the last 7 or 8 years. So balls are very different in that some of them fluff up really quickly and get a lot bigger and heavier, and others can stay and their felt stays very thin. So the heavier the ball, it goes through the air slower and off the court slower. Obviously, the thinner the ball, the smaller the ball, the faster it goes through the air. So I saw this great comedy skit from Michael McIntyre, and he talks about tennis players, and they grab a ball and they go, no, we don't want that one, and I don't want this one, and I don't want that one. And basically, it's pretty interesting, because if you know the science behind it, the player is trying to find either the fastest ball to go through the air or the slowest ball to go through the air. Now, when you get 6 brand new balls, sometimes you don't use all the new balls, and you've got a brand new one sitting in the ball boy's hand that you go, wow, I need a point. I need the ball to go faster through the air. You use a brand new ball, you serve it, and it probably adds another 5 to 10 Ks when you serve. So you think about those sort of little concepts, and the players really want to choose the right ball for them. Some players struggle to control the serve and they need a slower ball, so they pick the bigger, fluffier ball to serve with. And other players need the speed. So you look at a John Isner might need the fastest ball on the clay court every single time he serves. And you change balls every 7 and 9 games. So the first changeover is 7, and then it's every 9 games after that they'll change the balls over. So it's really important to understand the ball, because it does play a big factor in what you can and can't do on your shot. So whether you can penetrate or whether you can't. So it's going to be interesting. The balls this year are going to be a little bit faster. They'll be able to stay a little bit faster for a little bit longer. The Babolat balls tend to fluff up pretty quickly, and they don't last as long fresh, and they get pretty old pretty quickly. So it'd be an interesting concept. Again, the conditions themselves are definitely going to favour Dominic Thiem and obviously Novak Djokovic are the two players that will definitely probably help more in the men's side of the draw. Where Nadal, look, I think, you know, as much as it won't be the best situation for him, I still think he's one of the players to beat. He's an incredible clay courter, and 12 French Opens, I think it's, you can't go past a superstar.
Yeah, when you've won 12, I guess you can pretty much demand the respect that you want. So, fantastic analysis, guys. Remember, this is a very special broadcast, the first joint broadcast for Breakpoint and the Tennis Menu. And you can head to thetennismenu.com and get the annual subscription to the Tennis Menu for just $99.90 US for over 600 tennis-specific drill videos within the technical toolkit. Is unbelievable. Mark has done such a great job in coordinating all of those. So head to thetennismenu.com for all of that. And Breakpoint, you can follow us on Twitter at Breakpoint Pod. Subscribe on Spotify, Wooshka, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. We are there as well. And you can like the Tennis Menu on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as well. Give us a follow and a subscription. Fantastic products there. And that's it. That's the men's draw reviewed. And look, that's our two cents. Not sure whether we're going to be right. One of us is bound to be because we've gone with Team Djokovic or Nadal to win. So I think that's probably one of the first and only times all three of us will be different in a men's draw going forward. But you never know with how even things are going to get with the imminent retirement of the big three. But Mark Cifullis, it's been an absolute pleasure, mate. See you tomorrow for the women's draw preview.
Thanks very much, guys. Yeah, obviously great collaborating with you boys. And obviously the Tennis Menu and Breakpoint are very close now in terms of what we do together. And I do appreciate you guys, jumping in with me and me having the opportunity to jump in with you guys. So it was great. Hopefully one of us is right because there's still 125 other players in the draw. So we could be wrong.
No, there's not. There's nothing. All right. But Mark, best high-performance coach in the business. The pleasure is all ours to be partnering up with you for Breakpoint and the Tennis Menu as well. And Joel Ferrucci, it wouldn't be the same without you, mate. Thank you very much for joining us here on the show today.
No worries, mate. It was great to be on.
And remember, you can follow the Tennis Menu on Twitter at the Tennis Menu and Instagram as well as Facebook. You can like us there, the Tennis Menu, tennismenu.com. Remember, where you can sign up to the annual subscription to the Tennis Menu for just $99.90 US for over 600 tennis-specific drill videos with the technical toolkit. Mark has done such a wonderful job putting all that together. But remember, join us tomorrow. Women's draw preview is coming up. We are very excited for what this one is going to bring. Plenty more still to come at Roland Garros news and galore, anything. But we'll see you tomorrow.